Around 1960, the influence of WCCO radio was responsible for launching quite a few national artists, including Mitch Miller and a young comic out of Chicago named Bob Newhart.
I made the album in February of 1960 at the Tidelands in Houston. Mm-hmm. And I asked Warner Brothers when they thought it would be coming out, and they said they thought April 1st it would break in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So it got to be April, it got to be the middle of April, and I kept saying, my friends keep asking, when's the album coming out?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we're shipping every available album we have up to Minneapolis, because Howard Viken broke the album and is going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me they were publicizing the times a driving instructor would be played, and mm-hmm. So it really broke, you broke the album, it broke here in Minneapolis.
Well, I'm trying to remember how many copies were sold. Was it... They remember 14,000 in the first week or two weeks.
Is that right? I never heard that. There was one guy, he apparently got burned once with an earlier album of somebody's, and he would only order, he'd order two,
mm-hmm.
and he'd sell one, he had the other in the window,
mm-hmm.
and every time he sold one, then he'd close up the shop and drive down and pick up another one.
Bob Newhart's first album, including the famous driving instructor bit, did sell thousands of copies in CCO land. How could you forget?
How do you do? You're Mrs. Webb, is that right? Oh, I see you've had one lesson already. Who is the instructor on that, Mrs. Webb? Mr. Adams. I'm sorry, here it is, Mr. Adams. Just let me read ahead and kind of familiarize myself with the case. How fast were you going when Mr. Adams jumped from the car? 75. And where was that? In your driveway. How far had Mr. Adams gotten in the lesson? Backing out. I see you were backing out at 75, and that's when he jumped. Did he cover starting the car and the other way of stopping? What's the other way of stopping? Throwing it in reverse. That's right.
Through the history of WCCO radio these many years, listener involvement has been vital. In times of fear, and in times of fun. Let's talk about the fun first. This show went right into the homes of thousands of our listeners weekday evenings throughout the 1960s. Such a corny premise. And the prizes for listeners who answered questions correctly, not much. But oh, did we have fun.
Do you know the answer to this question?
In the world of literary fiction, who sued Mr. Pickwick for a breach of promise?
Now, if you can give us the right answer to that question,
you can win big money on Honest to Goodness.
Well, sit back and fasten your money belt, folks. We're off and flying again on Honest to Goodness.
Randy Merriman, Dick Chapman. Some moments of hilarious trauma. The listeners were the stars. Just a few weeks ago, on the Kozlak Russell Show, Randy recalled this story.
As closely as I can remember, Dick, we'll say for sake of a name, it was Charlie Ferguson. Dick placed the call, if I remember, Dick, it was in Wisconsin, and when Mrs. Ferguson answered, there were a lot of voices in the background.
Yes.
And you had said something about, I hope we haven't interrupted a party, and she said, oh, no. And you said, well, here's Randy Merriman, and so I said, well, Mrs. Ferguson, we called because your husband Charlie sent in a card, and could I speak to him? She said, well, I don't think so. I said, well, when he comes home, would you tell him we called you? Well, oh, he's home. He's in the living room. And about this time, it began to dawn on us. And I said, well, Mrs. Ferguson, what is happening? She said, well, he said his name in before. I said, before what? She said, before he died.
Oh.
And she said, we have the wake is going on. So Chapman is sitting there.
Randy turned absolutely ashen at this point in time.
Oh, sure.
Oh.
And so, did you get her off the line right away then?
Well, I said, Mrs. Ferguson, we're deeply sorry, and all of us at WCCO regret in your hour of sorrow that we've called, so I'll hang up. She said, oh, no, please ask me the question. And
That's the Lord's truth.
And so she said Charlie would have wanted it that way.
In 1965, WCCO Radio became the first radio station to win three major broadcast awards in 1 year, the DuPont, Columbia, and George Foster Peabody Awards, for our coverage of floods, blizzards, and tornadoes which ripped through CCO land that year. For many of our listeners, it was a time of fear.
Right now, let me say this, sir. We don't want you to endanger yourself in any way, but we want you to continue describing this thing for us so that we can keep our eye on it by our radio, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I can understand.
Okay.
We're at this point, where I am located, we're in absolutely no danger whatsoever. I'm calling from an area approximately 3/4 of a mile east of Highway 101 and about a mile south of Highway 7. Right near Glen Lake.
All right, very
good. I'm looking at this thing now, excuse me a moment, but I would say that it is approximately due southwest of me at the moment.
We have another party on the line, too, Dick. Yes, you hang on, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Hello.
Hello, this is Pat McDonald.
Yes, and where are you?
I live on 101, just south of Chanhassen.
Uh-huh, and you said you sighted a second tornado?
Yes, we can hear it and we can see it.
What direction from you is that now?
It's directly north of us now, a little northwest.
And you said the first one went right by you?
The first one went right off the edge of Lotus Lake,
In the 1960s, the stage for our live broadcasts shifted from auditoriums and armories across CCO land to the playing field. The natural grass and open sky of Metropolitan Stadium, the open prairie of Bloomington, Minnesota. Major League sports had come to Minnesota, the Vikings, the Twins, and the voice of Halsey Hall.
Halsey has just revolutionized radio. We'll tell you about it in a minute. Meantime, here's Bill Hahn at the plate. If they heard you that time, I give up. And the strike on the end. Come on,
sorry.
We got to let him know what's going on here. Bill Hahn, the batter. One strike.
Wouldn't you give him the changes?
The pitch is high. 1-1. Come on now, tell him what you were using for the microphone.
My stopwatch.
Well, it could happen to anybody.
Yeah, sure. Stopwatch looks like a microphone, yeah.
Let us speak of another man. Like Halsey, he hardly ever set foot in our downtown studios. He was out there like the wind. Hubert Horatio Humphrey, mayor of Minneapolis, U.S. Senator. And he happened to be on WCCO radio the day when President Lyndon Johnson anointed him for national office.
It was in the summer of 1964. I was at the Democratic National Convention in Atlantic City. I was wondering what was going to happen to me and hoping. And I was on the phone to WCCO's Party Line program describing my impressions of the convention. Suddenly, the program was interrupted by a CBS News bulletin. I see that there's a picture in there in this program tonight about that. And the CBS bulletin made the announcement that President Johnson was going to ask Hubert Humphrey to be the vice presidential candidate. Well, I'd say that was good from 2 points. First of all, the president had very good judgment. And secondly, may I say it was wonderful news to hear because I was wondering what he was going to do. I couldn't find it out from him. I had a whole battery of people trying to find out, and here, where do you think I got it? Right from WCCO. Now, that's instant news, and that's live, real drama. You don't think so? You ought to...
It yields real benefits. I think for every dollar you spend, you get much more back because it so improves the earning capacity of the people that receive this education.
That is right,
Senator. Just a moment. I'll interrupt you momentarily,
yes, sir.
Senator.
We have a CBS Net Alert bulletin coming up, and it is from Atlantic City. Senator, I believe you'll be able to hear this, too.
We interrupt this program for a CBS Radio Net Alert bulletin. This is CBS News correspondent Dan Rather at the White House, where President Lyndon Johnson has just said he intends to telephone Minnesota Senator Hubert Humphrey this afternoon. The president said that he would ask Senator Humphrey to come to the White House this afternoon from Atlantic City for a conference concerning the vice presidential nomination of the Democratic Party.
Senator, I'll tell you true. I didn't know that was coming.
I didn't know it either, and it indicates to me
me that I better get off these telephones.
I think so, too. Senator, we had hoped to have you longer, but I can see it's important now to clear your line. The president is calling you, Senator.
I don't want the president to call here and find the line busy.
Right.
You know, I could, a fellow could miss the whole, they could miss the train.
Senator, for heaven's sake.
Over the years, many voices have helped make WCCO Radio what it is today. Eddie Gallagher, Frank Butler, Gordon Eaton, Ed Veman, Dara Aldrich, Joyce Lamont, Dick Enroth, Franklin Hobbs, E.W. Zebarth, Maynard Spies, Jim Hill, Stu McPherson, Alan Gray, Sig Mickelson, Clarence Togue, Arv Johnson, Jim Borman, Jurgen Nash, and more today, Ray Christensen, Steve Cannon, Chuck Lilligren, David Hopp, Jim Rogers, Joel McFarlane, Sid Hartman, Denny Long, Tim Moreland, Herb Carneal and Joe Angel, Kurt Lundgren, Bill Deal, Ruth Kozlak and Tim Russell, and our newest arrival, Paul Stagg. At WCCO Radio, we place a lot of emphasis on stability. The people you hear on WCCO Radio came to stay here, not to move on somewhere else. These two men are a good example of that. Charlie Boone and Roger Erickson celebrating their 25th anniversary together with WCCO Radio this year.
I first heard Charlie, I did Bozo for a couple months before I came here to CCO Radio that fall of 59. Charlie beat me by a couple of months here at CCO Radio. And I heard this guy on Sunday morning. My gosh, he sounds good. I haven't heard him before because I was a CCO fan before I came to CCO. A CCO fan since I was this high. I grew up with CCO. And when I was working at other radio stations, I was still a fan of CCO. I knew everybody who worked here. Here was that new voice. My gosh, he sounds good. Wow. I guess I don't dare come to work at that station if they're hiring people like that.
You never told me that.
That's true.
No, actually, I first heard Roger on the Milestones. Because Roger had acted as an actor before you came to work here or even as Bozo the Clown.
That's true, yeah.
And he was an actor, and I heard his voice, was impressed by it, obviously, because I, a former actor and appreciated acting, and particularly radio acting, and then first heard you when you came to work as a staffer, working nights, as everyone does here, and then we started to work in the afternoon together and kind of kibitzed on each other's shows. I'd come in and do the weather on your show, you'd come and do the weather on my show. Knowing that we both had a similar background in acting and liked to do accents and voices, we started our thing. Mm-hmm. Nobody told us to do it. Nobody said, hey, that's good, keep doing it. We just did it because it was fun.
58. And that's a little foggy around the edges. It's Boone Erickson.
Ta 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 ta.
WCCO.
And here are some of the sounds of the 80s on CCO, a guarantee of better things to come on The Good Neighbor to the Northwest. Community involvement, entertainment, news and information, and sports.
They're off and running in the Twin Cities Marathon from downtown Minneapolis in front of the Pillsbury Building.
Come on, Zach! He's at 2 hours, 11 minutes, 30 seconds. He's almost... Come on, Zach! He's gonna go... We're almost there. 2 hours, 11 minutes, 40 seconds. Come on, Zach! He's gonna do it!
Have upset the number one team in the nation, Michigan.
Ray Christensen.
To nothing. The fans are streaming on the field. And the Gophers coming over to the sideline and getting the little brown jug.
Viola ready to wind up in the 2-1 delivery. Is swung on in a major league pop-up.
Herb Carneal and Joe
Viola
Angel.
Says, where is it? Now Jimenez is there. And let's see, anybody see that ball? It stayed up in the air. I don't believe it. That ball stayed up in the air.
And Tuffle breaks his bat and loops the ball into right field. It's going to fall in for a hit. Bounces over Harold Baines. Ball rolling all the way to the fence. There comes Engel home. There comes Wormanski. They're waving Tuffle in. There's the throw of the plate. He scores! The Twins win!
Well, you put a runner in scoring position, and Mickey Hatcher really bears down. There's a drive hit deep to right center field. This one is way back. Wilson at the track, and it's off the canvas. Herbeck is rounding second on his way to third as Hatcher came in to score. Now they're sending Herbeck in. Here's the throw. It's wide. And Herbeck, an inside-the-park home run.
Julia Chard is with us this afternoon. Bonjour, Julia. Now, is it true there? I don't know, this came up the other night when we were all out. You were on the Newlywed Game?
Yes, it was very, very, very important.
embarrassing.
Oh, I bet it was. Now, what was so embarrassing about it?
Well, they asked me to...
Ruth Kozlak and Tim Russell.
...the story of the most embarrassing thing that happened in the early years of my marriage.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I had to tell them about the time while doing spring cleaning we switched the cover some books. Mm-hmm. And we got the cover of the Joy of Sex book switched with the Joy of Cooking.
Oh, dear.
Took about a week to get the bedroom cleaned up. It was tomato paste and spaghetti and all sorts of things all over.
Yes, I understand. You told this on national TV, huh?
We'd like to leave you this afternoon with the words of two men. The first is the late William McNally, former chairman of the board of Midwest Radio and Television, our parent company. He said this in 1964. The sun has never shone on WCCO Radio more brilliantly than it does today. Every prospect is that its brightest days are ahead. We'd like to thank our listeners, not just those of us on the air. They deserve much of the credit. We think listeners get the kind of radio they want and deserve, and we hope we have given you and will continue to give you the best. Second, we close with the words of Mr. Charles Osgood, CBS News correspondent, who spoke at WCCO Radio's 60th anniversary grand dinner the evening of October 2nd, 1984.
Perhaps you know my awful curse is that I am given to writing verses. So listen, WCCO. There's something that you ought to know. I realize that your age is such that you're older than I, but not by much. So please accept these words from me on this, your anniversary. Here's to your voice across the years, in times of laughter, in times of tears. Here's to your listeners, bless them all, in Minneapolis and St. Paul and wherever else your signal reaches and entertains, informs, and teaches. Here's to the land that you're the heart of. Here's to the lives that you've been part of. Here's to 60 years of being there, a friendly voice coming through the air, getting folks up and on their way, making them smile with the things you'd say. And how many nights was yours the only voice that was comfort to someone lonely? That is something you'll never know, will you, WCCO? But it happened more than you'll ever know. More than you ever knew. It can't be proved, but you know it's true. You made us think, and you made us feel, because what you are is so true, so real. And may I say it, I hope I might, you look just beautiful tonight. Thank you, and I'll see you on the radio.
I'll second that, Charles. And I guess you can see us on the radio. Use your imagination, just like your parents and grandparents did 60 years ago this month. This is Howard Viken. Thank you for listening.